It's a good morning. Yeah, good to see everybody out today. I actually really love altogether services. I sort of feel like an altogether service is really how Jesus ministered, all age present. So a big, big welcome to the children today. Now this is your time now to go and pick up one of your packs, and in it you're going to find a worksheet, and as we've sometimes done this before, you listen carefully, fill it out, and then at the end of the meeting, come and see me, because Jackie has given me a box. The box is here. It's a treasure trove of goodies. Yoo-hoo, so it's worth it. Actually, one of the other times we did this, it was quite hilarious because all the big kids were coming up too. So big kids like the youth, if you want to fill out one of these, you're most welcome. Oh, look, they're all going now. Oh, no, it's just all good to be together, isn't it? Yeah. Hallelujah. And so, children, listen up. And I will try and include you all. So my prayer is always that the older ones here will get something, and even the younger ones will get something, and everybody in between. Because God wants to feed all of us, not just some of us. So why don't we just thank the Lord for his word today. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that it's always fresh, it's always revitalizing, and Lord, it's all about you growing us so that we become more and more like you. So Lord, we just commit this time to you now. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for opening up our hearts, opening up our ears to listen, that we can receive from you today, and our lives can change even more to become like you. So we bless you now in Jesus' name. Well, this morning, you always go back and say, well, Lord, what's on your heart? And it was interesting, at the end of last year, one of our friends sent us an email, and this is what it said. A very blessed Christmas and a faith-filled new year to you all. And I thought, faith-filled, a faith-filled new year. Now, it's not normally what we say to people, is it? Faith-filled. So I thought, and I began to meditate on that, and I actually began to believe the Holy Spirit really began to speak to me, that that's his desire for each one of us this year, that we would be filled with his faith. Now, of course, that message was given to us. We're Christians, we love Jesus, and we don't have any problem that our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith is in God, the Father and Creator of all, and our faith is in the Holy Spirit. So we don't have any problems with that, do we? And then I began to meditate, and I thought, I wonder if there's anybody that I can find in the Bible where God actually says they're filled, full of faith. And I found two. Do you know who they are? Stephen was one. Hey, I heard someone say it. Full of faith. And another one was Barnabas. Barnabas was full of faith. And I thought, that's a great desire for all of us, isn't it? Full of faith. Full. And both those two times, so we're filled with the Holy Spirit and filled with faith. So obviously, the more filled we are with the Holy Spirit, the more filled with faith in the Lord Jesus Christ we are going to be. Now, Jesus talked a lot about faith. And there's no way I can cover everything today about faith. But he did talk about great faith. He talked about faith, and he actually talked about little faith, and in some instances he said no faith. And so the opposite of faith is, what is the opposite of faith? Unbelief. Yeah. And so in order to be filled with faith, I think we really have to have a hands-on look at unbelief as well. And the disciples struggled with unbelief, even though they had Jesus, the Son of God, with them. They struggled with unbelief. Look through the scriptures, Adam and Eve, you know, children of Israel in the wilderness, you know. Right across the board, there's stories where people struggled with unbelief. Have you ever struggled with unbelief? Yes. You can raise your hand, because I don't mind raising both. And I can only preach this, I believe, because I've had to walk through it and actually recognize when unbelief hits. Do you know who the source of unbelief really is? Satan, our enemy. Do you know That's his greatest weapon that he uses against us, is unbelief. But do you actually recognize that devil and his troops, do you actually recognize something? They believe. They believe in God. And there's scriptures like when there was a deliverance happening in the early part of Jesus' ministry, what did the demon cried out? I know who you are. You're the Son of God. This should really rile us up. And there's a verse in James chapter 2 and verse 19 where it actually says, you believe God is one, so do the demons. And they shudder. Now this should make you really mad and stir us all up. They believe, and yet the weapon they use against us is unbelief, because they want us to get into unbelief. So the title of my message today, thank you, Christine, is we're going to run from unbelief to faith this year. Running from unbelief to faith. Now, sometimes I think we almost allow ourselves the luxury of getting into a bit of unbelief. But do you know, I have to tell you this, because in Hebrews you can find a verse that says that a person who's unbelieving, their heart is evil. An evil heart of unbelief. So that tells me that really unbelief, the bottom line, is sin. So it needs to be repented of and run away from. And I just so sense that God wants us to be a faith-filled community, because we are on a journey this year. We're going to be not always meeting in this tent, we understand. We're going to be moving. We're going to be moving into the community of Horsmore Moor around the Oaklands area. And God wants us as a church. Look, if he can find a faith-filled community, what can he do? Yeah. And so where are you today on your faith journey? Now, these disciples, I've just picked out a couple of stories of disciples because I believe we can learn a lot from them. We're going to look at one. The disciples, when they were really, really struggling in their early days with Jesus. And then we're going to look at their growth. Because isn't it good? We can grow in faith. Look back on your life. How long have you been a Christian? I've been a Christian now for 60 plus years. Someone said, wow. I heard that. And look, shame on me if I haven't grown a bit in faith. And I trust I have. And I do believe I've had. I think this last year when we've been pushing into Encounter Nights, that's pushed me into more faith than I think I've ever actually really had before. Faith in what God says he wants to do. Now, can I just tell you this? That I do believe there's a difference between faith and trust. They're not interchangeable because they're two words. And they are two words in the Greek and two words in the Hebrew. And so I have thought very carefully about faith and very carefully about trust. So this is my idea. That faith is when we believe that God will do what he says he'll do. Trust is when we know who he is and we trust in his character, who he is. Big difference, isn't there? The do comes out of the who. True? Yeah? And so I heard Bill Johnson say this, and I've never forgotten it, because it just helped to confirm what I was feeling. He said, great faith is built on the shoulders of quiet trust. So the more you trust him, the more our faith will grow. So the disciples were on a journey. And so now, Christine, if we could go to Mark chapter 4, would be really good. And did you children get that up there, the title? It was all there for you to fill in on your sheet. So let's go to Mark chapter 4. It's going to come up there. Oh, that's good. This is a very well-known story, but I tell you, there are so many principles of the faith life in the story. So on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. This is Jesus. He just had a big day, and this is the evening, and he's saying to them, let's cross over, get in the boat, we're going to go to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, this is on the Sea of Galilee, and apparently this happens, and the waves beat into the boat, so it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Anyone identify with that? Would you think that too if you were in that situation? "Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.'" Don't you love it? "And the wind ceased and there's a great calm. But he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful?'" What a funny question. "How is it that you have no faith?" "And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" So let's go back to the beginning. The first thing, we can have the first picture of the PowerPoint now, the next one. "And Jesus said to them, 'Let us go to the other side.'" So they had the word of the Lord. He said they were going to cross to the other side. And I can imagine them. I would just love to get my imagination going here. Now the evening, sun setting, they're on the boat. I bet the ones that had Jesus with them were feeling, "We've got Jesus with us." He wasn't in all the boats, he was in just one boat. And I can just imagine, can't you, the sun going down, the beauty of the sunset and the moon coming out, and the stars all shining, and they were just at peace. "We're going to the other side, we've got Jesus with us in our boat." And I think we can learn something right away at this point. It's always good to know what God is saying, particularly when you set out on some major project that you know that you know that you know that you have heard from God. Because sometimes I think that we can have the idea that in the will of God, the moon will shine, the stars will come out, everything will be beautiful all the time. Now, this story teaches us otherwise. It's not. So when I go overseas or do anything, like when I was about to, you know, when Wayne came into my life, I tell you, I needed to hear from God. Because you need, does that sound funny? Well, I think it's a major change for me. I had been a widow by the time we got married for 20 years. And it was, I knew it was going to change my life. And it did. Yeah, dramatically. So did I need to hear from God? Yes, I did. I need to have something to anchor my faith in that God was in this journey. And thankfully, Holy Spirit spoke and he spoke to Wayne and he confirmed it through others. And that's the safe place to be. You know, I didn't tell everybody straight away what God was saying to me, because once you go up to somebody and say, "Well, God's told me this," well, what more can you say? You don't actually get any opportunity to give any input into it. I never thought of saying this, but this is important. Because if you're sensing God is saying something important to you, you know, a major change in life, don't go and tell your leaders or the person you're seeking, you know, "Well, God has said." Well, you've played the God card. What more can anyone really say? It's better to hold things in your heart and then go and say, "Well, this is what I'm feeling on my heart. Would you like to pray with me?" And it's wonderful to have things confirmed. True? Anyone agree with that? Oh, yes, 100%. Yeah, get it confirmed. So anyway, we know what happened. Before long, that storm came up, the wind blew, and everything went upside down. Next picture. Here they are. And it was a frightening experience. Now, let's not minimize what was going on. You know, the waves were up, the wind was howling, and I tell you something, all their five senses kicked in. You know? That's what happens to us, isn't it? You know, our five senses, once they kick in, we actually really get into believe what our five senses are telling us. So now, what do they hear? They hear the wind. They feel the wind. They see the sea. And I can imagine they're smelling it and tasting it, you know. I mean, it's not hard to say that, wow, what's going on here? Then, of course, they had a dilemma because Jesus was asleep. Don't you love it? So I don't know if they had a discussion. Who's going to wake him up? "Peter, come on, you do it, Peter." "Oh, no, no, John, maybe you should do it." And I was a bit scared, but then the waves were piling in. Someone just said, maybe they all went and said, "Jesus, teacher, don't you care? We're perishing." And that's one of the first things. So where do those thoughts come from? Come on. Can you imagine the enemy having a go here? He's in this somewhere, because if he can have the whole lot drowned, wouldn't that be good? Because on the other side of the lake, they were going to meet that demonized man who needed some amazing ministry from Jesus. So I have a feeling the enemy was a part of this. And I think, you know, when you're a fairly new Christian, this is some of the very first seeds of doubt he'll sow into your mind. You know, if you're going through some trauma or some trauma in your life and you don't understand it, he'll come along and say, doesn't really care about you, does he? Does he really love me? You know, ever had those thoughts?
Yep.
Come on, you can be really honest in this house. I've had those thoughts. I've had them. I remember when my late husband, you know, was first diagnosed. I went through a huge time. I don't think God really loves me. You know, does he really still love me? You know, so that's the very first thing that he attacked. That's why we have to be so rooted and grounded into the love of God. Yeah. So no matter what happens, nothing will weaken your knowledge that no matter what happens to you, Jesus Christ loves you. That's the bottom line. But they didn't know that yet. So they thought they were perishing. Interesting. Jesus did get up. He had very frightened disciples on his hand. And he had a storm raging. But don't you love it? What does he do? Next picture, please. I just love this. He gets up. Now, you see, he's a man who's full of faith. You know, he's God, but man, you know. He was in touch with his Father. So he does, Father, we must have a prayer meeting right now. Father, what am I going to do? What do you think I'm going to do? But he knew that he had the power and the authority of Christ, you know, of the Father resident within him. So what does he do? See, faith will always speak. Because unbelief speaks. You heard unbelief speaking in those disciples, didn't you? Don't you care? You know, out of our mouth either comes faith or unbelief, you know. So Jesus rebuked the wind. Interesting. Rebuked, because he actually rebuked demons, he rebuked sickness, you know, and he's now rebuking the wind. Interesting, isn't it? I wonder what he said. Stop it! You know, and then he speaks to the sea. Peace, be still. And there's a perfect peacefulness. That's how the Amplified puts it. What an amazing change. But you see, this is where God is bringing us to, church. So full of faith. We pray and we talk. We know our prayer life is in place. But when we are faced with things, we know how to speak to it in faith. You know, God is growing us in this area. You know, Jesus spoke into situations. He spoke to sickness. He didn't have prayer meetings all the time to pray for the sick. He just spoke to it. You know, faith speaks. Do you want to grow in faith? Yeah, you'll have a few things that come along when we have to learn to speak to it. So Jesus rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And it happened. Hallelujah. Great, hey? This is our Jesus. In the next picture, he then has to talk to the disciples. Interesting what he said to them. Why are you so fearful? Why would he ask that? Isn't it quite obvious? It's like he didn't expect them to be fearful. Is that how you read it? And how is there no faith? It's like there's an expectation in Jesus that they would have faith in him, knowing who they had in the boat. So why are you so fearful? You see, unbelief will always bring us into fear. Would you agree? Unbelief and fear seem to go hand in hand. And he said, how is it? You have no faith. You see, what happened to the disciples? They just forgot what Jesus said. Jesus has said they'd go to the other side, and they just forgot it. How many of you actually can identify with that? That when you're going through stuff, you know, and our senses are all stirred up, and we get a bad report, you know, or something happens, or you're waiting for a long, long, long time. Do you know when I was waiting for the promise to be fulfilled with Wayne? I said to the Lord one day, I said, you know, as I was getting older, and I said, as you think, Lord, I think this promise of me marrying again, I just think it's too hard for you. You know, you just can't find anybody. That's the problem. I did. I really did. You know, I thought it was like looking for a needle in a haystack, you know, when you're older and there's no men around, you know. I mean, and see, was I in faith all the time? No, I was not. And the beauty of it is, God still loves us, and he still comes through for us, but it's a journey. It's in those moments of testing, it's an opportunity for our faith to grow. And of course, the clue is what these guys said. Who can this be? Even the wind and the sea obey him. So they had very limited knowledge of who Jesus was. Wouldn't you agree? They were still calling him teacher. They did not know that the creator of the wind and the sea was in their boat. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that absolutely amazing? They just didn't know who was in their boat. And I think it's going to take a lifetime for us to realize who we have in our boat. You know? Oh, we have the resurrection and life in our boat. Oh, we have him dwelling inside of us. Resurrection life actually dwells within us because he does. You know, it's an ongoing revelation of Jesus and who he is. And our faith will grow as we know him and what he's able to do. And accompanied with that, of course, is our trust is going to go deeper and deeper. And so these disciples were on a journey. But it wasn't the end of their road. And I just want to take you to this. I've just got to do this. Because this story has always just so touched my heart. We're going to go now to Acts chapter 12. And 10 plus or more years have passed. Peter and those disciples have walked with Jesus through his death, through his resurrection, through his ascension. And they've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they're out there ministering, you know. So in the story, we're going to find that Peter is now in prison for his faith. And as we go to Acts chapter 12, is it okay, Christine, if you can bring it up? So this is numbers of years now. So interesting how it starts. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to arrest some from the church. Anyone know the story? The next verse tells us, then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now just stop for a moment. Who was James? He was the brother of John, an early leader in the church. Just in one little sentence, he's died. How would that impact us? Next one. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him. That's 16 soldiers. You know, they weren't going to let him out, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sleeping. Well done. Think about that. I don't think they had any sleeping pills. Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. And what happened? Then an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone on the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. And you can go home and read the rest. He was miraculously set free from prison. You know, the angel told him, clothe yourself, let him right out. You know, all the soldiers slept, doors opened miraculously. It's just an amazing story, isn't it? But you've got to think, what was Peter doing in prison? We're going to have the next slide. Growing in faith. What was he doing? He's sleeping. Now, I would say to you, he is growing in faith. Would you agree? It takes faith to be asleep when you could be the next one to lose your head. So he's asleep. Dear Peter, he has grown from here to here. You know, Jesus actually tells us, if you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you can speak to this mountain and tell it to move. Okay? And it will. Oh, there's so much more for us to get into, church. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Oh, yes. So he's actually telling us, use what you've got, because faith will grow. You know, so a mustard seed, I'm told, is one of the very smallest of seeds. It's about the size of a top of a pinhead. So you don't have to have a lot, but use it. There was one time the disciples came and said, Jesus, increase our faith. And so they wanted him to do all the work, but he just replied and said, if you have faith, it's a grain of a mustard seed. In this instance, you can speak to this tree and it's going to move. And nothing is impossible to those who believe. Oh, we've got so much to enter into. We were in a pretty faith-filled environment today in this church service. It's easier when you're together, isn't it? So that's when you're out there facing the storms of life, things change. So there's Peter, he's snoozing. Now what about the church? I love it. Did it say the church was praying? Or just a little ladies' prayer group? Or the prayer warriors of the church were praying? You've got to hear me. I could get really on this one. The church was praying. Oh, for times and moments when the church of Jesus Christ will wake up that we're called to pray together. Because you see, what I'm trying to tell you, that back there, you know, in that first story, the devil used unbelief against those disciples. Am I right? To bring them into a place of fear and of trepidation. Thank God Jesus was there to rescue them. But there are, we can equally turn our faith around and use it against the devil. Because Ephesians tells us, what? One of the greatest weapons of our warfare is our faith. Above all, you take the shield of faith where we can, what? Quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And most of those darts will come at us in a form of unbelief. And I can't go into it all now because I'm very aware of our time and I know the kids are here. But I think you get the message, don't you? So the church was praying and they were using their faith corporately together. They were not about to lose another one. So it says constant prayer, but if you look at different translations, it was fervent prayer. It was stretched out prayer. The Passion Translation says the church entered into a season of fervent, intense intercession. And they were there together. And we know they must have been in faith because the answer came, didn't it? Hey? The church, and that's why I put that picture like that, because I didn't want you to think the church was praying. Because that's not the kind of faith we're talking about, is it? That's not the kind of prayer that I really believe we need at times. We need to be so stirred, body, soul, and spirit, that we're not going to be satisfied with anything else. It's to accept to see our loved ones delivered and set free. And so it was an amazing thing that as they prayed, God moved. Now, understand this. Was that hard for them? What did they do with the fact that James, a beloved leader in the church, had just lost his life? They could have got into unbelief. They could have said to themselves, well, what's the point? What's the point of praying? What's the point? What's the point? You know, lost James. You know, obviously, it's obviously going to be that, you know, we'll probably lose Peter too. And I mean, really? That is how we work. Now, why did James die? Oh, we always have to have a reason for everything. Why did he die? Why? We've got to find someone who's at fault. Am I right? You know, we've just got to find a reason for everything. But that early church, praise God, praise God, praise God. They didn't have that attitude. They stayed in faith. Maybe they processed some feelings. I don't know. Maybe they came in the early part of the prayer and saying, Lord, you know our hearts. We're grieving because, you know, we've lost James. But, Lord, we're taking hold of your word. And I bet they had the word. You know, you can probably just think, call out a word they could have stood on at that point. Even though I walk through the fire, you will be with me. Oh, there's so many scriptures on deliverance. I bet they were using the word of God as they were praying. And then an amazing thing happened. Next picture. I've just got to show you this. This is an illustration of the church praying together. I love that. That's a picture of a Roman army. And sometimes we just think they all just had their shields here and their swords here, you know. But when they were in battle, you can go and read this for yourself, they would lock all their shields together. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And they've got all this, you know, they've got spears, but we have a sword, you know. And I think, you know, as we're praying, we are locking shields together, our faith locking our faith together. They were doing that. They were locking their faith together so they could come against all the enemy's plans for Peter and for the church at that time. It's powerful, isn't it? You know, so as we come to pray, they have their spears ready. We have the word of the Lord ready in our hearts, and we lock our shields together in faith. And we use our faith against the enemy. Just turn it around against him. Anyone understand what I'm saying? Use your faith against him. We've got to be so smart to recognize when those first doubts of unbelief come into. I remember, I'll just give you this quick illustration. Wayne, he was out. We're at Ninja Valley. Anyone been to Ninja Valley yet with your grandchildren? Great place. He said, Sally, I've got a real bad headache. I thought, well, that's not good. He said, it's just here. So I prayed there. He said, please take me home. So I took him home. And on the way back, you know, back to Ninja Valley to pick up, you know, grandchild, I prayed. That's what you do, isn't it? I took out my shield of faith, and I stood against this attack. And I love that verse. Lord, I've got a grain of mustard seed of faith. So I'm speaking to this headache to shift now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I come home, Wayne will be okay. When I came home, he seemed to be pretty good. He ate and everything. I thought, well, this is good. In the morning, though, he comes out of after having a shower. He said, the headache's back, Sally, and it's just in here. I thought, oh. Now, what do you think happened to me at that point? Not straight away. I could feel all these thoughts. You know, when you've walked through cancer and stuff, he's got cancer. Maybe he's got, maybe it's an aneurysm or something. And all these nasty thoughts went at me. Now, come on, you can laugh because you know that's happened to you, don't you? Oh, yes. So I think, I didn't feel I had any faith in me even to pray for him. But I remember saying, oh, Lord, I do believe, help my unbelief. Anyway, he came out of that little test. But maybe it all happened, so I've got something really up to date. It only happened about last week. You know, because I want you to know how insidious it is. And I recognized it. And you think that I got away scot-free with preaching this message? No. I woke up one night, and honestly, I could feel this fear all around me. And you shouldn't be preaching that message. That will not be good for some people, particularly those who have lost people recently. They could really come under condemnation. You can't preach that message. I thought, okay. But if unbelief hitting, this is the word of the Lord. This is not Sally's word. This is the word of the Lord. And so I thought, no, I'm going to use my faith against you. This is what I believe is on my heart. So just unbelief, get out. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got to recognize it. We've just got to recognize. We've just got to just nip it in the bud, church. Because I tell you, there's people's lives to be set free from prison waiting on us to be more astute in the spirit. And that's the next picture. We'll finish with this, and I'm doing all right. Time-wise. A miracle answer to prayer. Oh, let's just cover that up a little bit there. Because we know, you've just read it. An angel turns up. Now, I've called it a role reverser because I love it. Who was asleep in the boat? Jesus. Who's asleep now? Peter. It took them waking up, Peter. I'm waking up, Jesus, true, in order for the situation to be resolved. But in this beautiful story, God has to now send a messenger to waken up Peter and give him instructions. Has Peter grown? He's become like his master. He's sleeping in a storm. Isn't that? Does that encourage all of you today? We can all grow in our faith. So we become filled with faith. God is looking for a community of people who will be full of faith. That does not mean we'll never have a nasty doubt, but we will just recognize it. And every time we go through something that's even contrary to faith, we will come to know our Jesus more. You know, I've walked through loss, but I know through losing, I came to know Jesus more. He turns everything around and uses it for his glory. And the most important thing as we come into 2025, now I know for some of you this could be a bit harder than others, but as we come into 2025, can we leave unbelief in 2025? Can we have that first picture again? Thank you, Christine. Can you do that? You know, that we're going to run from unbelief like we never have before, and we're going to run into faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding the source of our unbelief. That we have an enemy. Instead of him using unbelief against us, why don't we learn to use our faith against him? Why don't we do it? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So why don't we just stand in his presence? We're going to have communion in a minute because we thought that was the best way to finish. Because the devil will always want us to forget who Jesus is. Come to the communion table and we remember him. But before we come to the communion table, why don't we just say, Holy Spirit, examine my heart. Is there any unbelief? Yes. Are they going to get ready to serve it? Wonderful. Well, just hang on. Just sit down there for a moment because then Wayne will tell you when he needs you. So thank you. That's great. I think there's some more of you too. Yeah, we've got our precious young people serving communion for us today. Thank you so much. But I just thought we're just going to do this before we have communion. Say, Holy Spirit, is there any unbelief in my heart anywhere? Just expose it. And we're going to step out of it. We're not going to hold it in our hearts anymore because we discern where it's coming from. Am I right? You got it? So you might just have to say, Lord Jesus, I repent of unbelief today. I'm turning away and I'm running into you afresh. Yeah. And then why don't we declare together, Lord, we want to be a faith-filled community. Shall we do it?
Yeah.
Lift our hands. If that's what you want, say it together. Lord, we want to be a faith-filled community. I want to be full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Fill me as I take communion. And you can remember all his promises and pick them up like they're all being freshly washed in the blood of Jesus for you. So you can pick them up and stand in faith and decree it and believe it today. Now there may be someone here. It was funny this morning I woke up with this song going over in my head. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath a load of sin and shame. That's a very, very old song. You'd have to have known Jesus for a long, probably to know that one. How many know it? But then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. And I thought, I'm sure that song has come to me, not for me, because I know Jesus has taken my load of sin and shame. But there may be someone here today and say, that is me. I'm in this place, and I have the sense that I'm shackled by a heavy burden. And that heavy burden, in your case, is you're neath a load of sin and shame. And Jesus wants to take it off you. There may be someone like that today. Say, that's me. You can raise your hand right now if that is you. And if it's not sin and shame, it can be other burdens that you're carrying. He wants you to be released from them. You know, I tell you, miracles and healings and salvations are going to happen more and more and more as we're a faith-filled community. Because Jesus actually says in his word, doesn't he? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. But if you do have faith, we're pleasing him and we're honoring him, church. Yes. So are we ready? You can have a little break, sit down, and Wayne's going to serve communion, but we're going to remember Jesus as we take communion and reaffirm our faith in him. Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Let's just take the young people, you can distribute the young, please lift them from the handles. Not from underneath. Otherwise, we're going to have a horrible mess down there. Wow. Running
Thank
from
you.
Unbelief to faith. That's
Thank
a good
you,
word to start the year, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yes.
Hey? Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you,
and,
Lord.
Oh, it does get tested.
Oh, yes.
Even while I was having a show. And I said something to Sally what I was going to do. And Sally just said a little comment, I won't say what it was. And I thought, ugh, I've messed it up. And before I know it, I'm not wanting to come here. As quick as that, because the Lord says, nah, you're not up to it, Wayne. You're not up to it. The stinking satanic suggestions, right, the SSS wants to get out of mind and cripple us and stop us from being or doing or saying what the Lord has for us in our lives, right? And so, so you have to pick up your garment again, tie up your boots and get running.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If we could have that that scripture, 1 Corinthians 11:23 to 26. But main this word from the New King James. There we go. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Ooh, there's a lot of stuff in there. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We'll just pause there. And it's an invitation for us to come, when we come together, to remember what Jesus has done. That's right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he said, take, eat of this. This is my body. And what we've got is a bit of a biscuity bread thing with holes in it. And there's a lot of symbolism that could be said about that. But it represents the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for each one of us. By faith, we recognize that and receive that. You see, we can't take communion without exercising faith.
That's true.
Isn't that interesting? And he broke it. And he said, take, eat of this. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Right, give me something. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir.
You need a load of guilt and shame, isn't it?
So today...
No, it was shame and sin what I looked up today.
We take the bread in our hands and we're going to eat it.
I think so.
We're taking
I'd be wrong.
The body of Jesus Christ. You see, God is holy. He is sinless. But mankind sinned. And so for us to come before Almighty God, we need to know how to get rid of the sin package that's in our lives. We carry it in our nature. You don't have to tell a young kid too much for them to do something that shows what the Adamic nature, the nature of Adam and Eve, is like. And say, don't do this, you turn your back, and they do it. And sometimes they go, oh, I should have done that. That oven top was very hot, and they got burned. And we do stuff that burns up our lives, that causes us pain and the hurt. But thanks be to God, Jesus was sent. Remember that, John 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only son was given as a sacrifice for holy God to come as a person, as a man, take upon him our sin, everything that separates us from God, our shame, our sicknesses, our diseases. They say when he was on that cross with his hands and feet nailed to that cross, that he didn't look like a human being. It becomes so grotesque. Can you imagine it? He'd been scourged, He'd been given every type of piercing wound, every type of wound you could think of, to cause his body to be disjointed, chained. He was just stripped out, scourged, blood oozing everywhere. And on top of that, every sickness and disease was placed upon him. It's not a pretty sight. Every sickness was placed on his body. And Jesus says, take this body, take it. So we're going to receive it by faith. We receive his body by faith. And even as we eat this bread together now, it was broken for me. It was broken for you. It was broken for us, that we might come into his presence. And we remember what he did. So let's just eat at this time. The enormity of what Jesus did, we couldn't. We couldn't, but he did it. So beautiful. Then the next verse. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Wow. This cup represents the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. And it keeps on cleansing us in our life. We receive Jesus and we receive that forgiveness and cleansing. Oh, the joy that filled my soul on that night that I gave my life in 1968 to Jesus. I felt the sin go. I felt the shame go. And the certainty that I was saved came into my heart. And I knew even if I was to die at that moment, I'd go to heaven. I hadn't said the sinner's prayer yet, but I knew it because I had given my heart to Jesus. He's amazing. So as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. And then the next verse. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. So let's drink this cup.
Thank you, Jesus.
You proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now I know that Wes loves us to repeat proclamations. And I'm going to lead you in one of these this morning. A proclamation. It's a declaration for health and healing. It's from a lady called Jane Hammond. And she's compiled these thoughts together. And I thought, what a wonderful way to make some faith statements about what this receiving Jesus Christ means. Mean having our sins forgiven, having our whole lives made again new. Born again. Wow, wonderful. So if we could have, I will proclaim. It's a bit lengthy, but I'll break it down to little words, little statements, and we can all follow it. You with me?
Yeah.
Let's do this in faith, making each statement a faith statement of what we want to see Jesus. You can stand if you want to. You can sit down if you want to. But death and life are in the power of my tongue.
The tongue.
So I speak life over my body.
Yes, over my body.
It is God's will.
It's God's will.
For me to be healed.
For me to be healed.
Do you believe it? Mm. It is His will.
It is His will.
That I prosper.
That I prosper.
And live in health.
And live in health.
Even as my soul prospers.
Even as my soul prospers.
Jesus Christ carried.
Jesus Christ carried
my sickness and pain on the cross.
My sickness and pain on the cross.
Therefore,
I
do not need to carry it.
Do not need to carry it.
By His stripes.
By His stripes.
I am healed.
I am healed.
And made whole.
And made whole.
Oh, the life is in the blood.
The life is in the blood.
And Jesus shed blood.
And Jesus shed blood makes me whole.
Jesus lives in me.
Jesus lives in me.
And His life,
flows
through me.
He
came to destroy.
He came to destroy
the works of the devil.
The works of the devil.
And Sally told us that some of the ways which the enemy will get into our minds. The works of the devil, which includes
all sickness. Disease and pain.
Therefore, any work of the devil in my body, has already been defeated. I shall live and not die.
And shall declare
the works of the Lord. I command every demonic spirit. Of sickness.
Infirmity.
Or pain.
To leave my body now.
Just settle on that right now.
Ho.
We're declaring it.
Shakulotai.
We're receiving that by faith.
Yes.
Oh. Now, by the authority.
In the name of Jesus.
He is taking all sickness.
From the midst of me.
The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came. So I could have. Abundant life.
Overflows with His goodness.
The same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives in me. It just pause there. That same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in me. Wow. Need to ponder that. Need to mull these thoughts, these statements over and over again. And quickens my body to life. My body.
Is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
That's His dwelling place.
Yeah.
And all God's fullness
lives in me.
I will glorify Him.
In my body.
Which belongs to Him. My healing. Is springing forth speedily. A merry.
Joyful.
Happy heart.
It's good medicine for me.
Take it at least 3 times a day. Right? Lord. I will not forget your benefits. Forgiveness.
Healing, life.
Your words impart true life. Radiant health.
Into the core of my being.
I declare that my body
is completely healed
now. In Jesus' name, by the power of
His
word.
Wow.
Holy Spirit, brood over your word.
Yes.
Because each one of those statements is part of your word.
Yes.
It's a scripture somewhere. And many of those things. So in Psalm 19:14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And we all said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Just briefly, I want to take up that challenge that Sally gave out earlier. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you do not know what it is to have your sins forgiven, to have a clear conscience, not guilty of stuff that you've done in the past and you know you've done wrong.
Do you want to go and pick them all up?
Don't want anybody to know about it, maybe. But it's still there, and the enemy will keep reminding you of these things. You're not worth it. And even now he might be saying, it's no point in giving your heart to Jesus. He doesn't love you. Well, we know that he does. Because God loves the world. That almighty God that created the heavens and the earth, and it's still creating, loves each one of us. He loves you. He loves you. And he wants you to receive him. The Bible says to as many, that means each person, that receives Jesus, he will give you the power, the authority. He will give you the power to become a son or daughter of God. It's not what we can do. It's what he's doing, what he's done and what he can do. So if anyone here that hasn't given their heart to Jesus, I again give you that challenge. Would you receive him who loves you and has forgiven you and wants you to know his cleansing power and become a son or daughter of God? Would you put your hand up right now? Right now.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Anyone that want to do that, you've never done it before, you'd like to get right with God. I'd like to give that opportunity. Quickly, anybody here, wave it so I can see it if it's on you. Wow. You're either all saved or something else, I won't say. Well, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the cross. Thank you for Jesus giving up heaven and all its glory and majesty, brilliance of light and power, came as a baby, grew up as a lamb, and then as a man demonstrated the kingdom of heaven, and then died on our behalf. Father, I thank you for Jesus.
Yes, we do, Lord.
I thank you that Jesus, you are so good. And I pray, Jesus, that you would continue by the Holy Ghost to present this message to each of our hearts every day, that we know, I am a son of God. I am a daughter of heaven. I am known by God, and I know him. Thank you, Lord, and I just commit each one of these dear people to you now, that we would walk by faith. This great walk that you have purposed us to have. The knowledge of Christ in me, the hope of glory, and the goodness of God, and to see your wonderful work in your kingdom performed. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Thank you very much.
Amen. Hallelujah. Just one thing, they can put me back on. Receive your healing today.
Yeah.
Go from this place, walking in the knowledge that you are a child of God and you are believing by faith. And we will see more and more, and we will hear more and more testimonies. I'm absolutely sure of that. You know, we thank God for the testimonies we've already heard, but there's more to come, a whole lot more. Are we all faith-filled people today? Hallelujah. Well, go in faith. And children, don't forget to come and see me if your sheet is filled out. That's important. Okay, do you want to say anything, Grant and Ruth? No. All good? Yeah, off you. There's probably morning tea out there. Morning tea on the deck because we're on a summer's day.
Yeah.
Okay, go for it, church. Yeah. Go in faith. Yeah.